Hi, thanks for joining us today. This is Bonnie Wallace, author of The Hollywood Parents Guide, and today my guest on Hometown to Hollywood is Susanna Marolles. Susanna's daughter, Victoria Marolles, is best known for her work on Teen Wolf, Liv and Maddie, and Cloud Nine. She stars in the upcoming Down a Dark Hall. Susanna, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you, Bonnie. I'm so happy to be here and speak with you.
Well, this is fun. We did meet on Cloud Nine, and it's one of the best ways to get to know somebody is to sit in the snow for 2 months with them.
Yeah, it was quite a challenge, and I'm so glad that you were there because I would have been lost.
Well, that's how I felt about Kenda, and we all went through a lot of learning on that set together, and it was really a great experience. You know, I look at all these kids, and they're all still really close friends, and that's what you hope for. And in part because they have so much in common. You know, they're kids who love to play, and they love to perform. And, you know, a lot of kids love to perform, you know, and make their families laugh or, you know, put on little plays in the living room. But, you know, there comes a point where you start to take that a little more seriously in some cases. How old was Victoria when you actually started to consider that she had a real gift and that you might want to take that seriously?
Well, you know, it's funny because I did take it seriously early on, but I was like unable to really pursue that at that time because I was busy with my job and helping my brother with his career. And then I also had another Victoria sibling at home, Laura, which is older, and she had her own schooling going on and very into athletics and dance and everything else. But it's kind of cliche to say that, you know, she was a toddler because we all see our kids act out as they're young, but she was. I mean, she was performing at an early age, around four. I remember a home video interview in her early years, and her dad brought it up to me too. He said, "Do you remember when my mom, they took that video and said, what do you want to do when you grow up? And she just started performing and doing her little act, you know." But as she was always wanting to perform for one person or a whole group, didn't matter. She just went with it. So, yeah, kind of crazy.
So you guys are not from the L.A. area. You're actually from Texas. When did you decide that you needed to actually take a step and come out to L.A. to give Victoria that chance at her dream? What did that look like?
Well, her sister Laura came to L.A. in 2008, and she was going to FITM downtown L.A. and pursuing her education. And so that kind of really led to, okay, well, Laura's out there. Let's go out there. You know, this would be a good time. So in 2009, we took a plunge and moved out there, and I still kept my home in Rockport, Texas, which is a really small fishing village just outside of Corpus Christi, and not near any big cities. I'm originally from Dallas, but not anywhere near any big city. So it was quite a big undertaking for us to get to LA, but we did it.
The
big change was for us coming from a town of 12,000 to millions of people and a vast amount of traffic, and it was just unbelievable. I can't even put it into words. There's probably not enough time on this podcast for it.
So culture shock.
Yeah, definitely.
So you kept your house in Texas, and were you kind of going back and forth then, or?
Yeah, I was. I was trying to. I would leave her some with Laura, not very much, but I was able to, because I worked for a family, my brother, he was an artist, and so he was very much, you know, yeah, let her follow her dream. And so I got to work from over there And then I would come back to Texas and work some from here. And then when the industry would take their little breaks, you know, if you call it that, then I thought there were breaks. I think it was just what was implanted into our heads were breaks. But I would come home then. Yeah, I really feel that way because now that she's working, I don't really feel that way. They're not really that much of a break. But I would come back here and try to jump back into here and just back and forth. It was the hardest thing I've ever done.
But you, unlike a lot of people, actually had work that you could do from wherever you were to at least a large extent or a decent extent.
Right.
That's big. That's really helpful. I think that's kind of the
ideal
thing.
Yeah, it was
thing.
Really... Yeah, it really was helpful because I know a lot of, it really depended, the families I met out there were just all over the place. Some were very wealthy, some weren't very wealthy, some were just almost, you know, shouldn't have been there. And I was kind of like in the middle. So, I mean, I had to work and then I had to figure, you know, shuffle everything else around. And it was definitely a hard undertaking.
Yeah, no, it's not easy. A lot of families keep, you know, their house from wherever they came from and sort of have one foot here and one foot there. And that's not easy. It takes a lot of commitment and logistics to pull that off. So, you know, good for you. We weren't able to do that.
We finally, that, Bonnie, that you finally ended, like, it, that only lasted the rest of 2009. In 2012, we sold, I had two homes here, and I had two homes in Texas, and we sold both of our houses. So, that did change, Yeah, it really, really is. And the only connection, I mean, I had still my family here, the business, my brother's business, and my mom and dad, her grandparents here. And so it was definitely a challenge.
So another challenge that is one of the hardest things for anybody coming out here, whether they're a child actor or an adult actor, is finding good representation, getting in front of them, getting even a meeting with a good agent or manager. How did Victoria do that? How did that work for you guys?
Well, she went through a few agencies before landing the right fit. And how she, it was word of mouth how she got to CESC, the agency she's with now and has been there for some time. But she was had been sent out by her manager for a voiceover audition, and we're like, what's voiceover? You know, it was still really kind of green to us. It really was, and I mean, I knew kind of what it was, but you know, well, she's never been any, you know. And I talked to another mom, said, "Oh, this guy's great. Go see Tony Gonzalez. He'll help her." You know, you always want to make the best impression on anything first. So, and it was funny because we went in there for a voiceover and he was just like, oh my gosh. He had his iPhone, took a picture of her, sent it over to CESC. We had an appointment the next day with the agency. And then she has been there ever since. And it's been the right team, the right fit. And it was, and he was, you know, he was like being a scout. You know, I think you need to be with CESC. You know, you need to go over there and be with them. And it was really like that way. And the same thing with her manager she's with now. She had had a couple of managers before, and it just really was never right. And now she's with Alyssa Leeds, and she's been with Alyssa since November of last year, and it hasn't quite been a year yet, but it's been a great, great relationship. We went in, it was a recommendation also on set. Someone said, hey, you know, go see her. She'll, you know, I think you'll be great together. We both went together, met with her, and it's been great ever since. So we're very lucky in that respect. But we did go through the challenges of finding the right people.
It takes time. I mean, I think like any other really important close relationship that you can think of in your life, whether it's your significant other or like a doctor or some other relationship where there can be high stakes and you really need to have a great amount of trust and great communication, the odds are not high that you're going to get the right person at the first go around, you know?
Right.
I think it does.
I wish I would have known that going in. You know, you just kind of go out there and you're green and you're thinking, oh, everybody's so nice or they're, you know, whatever. And you're just like, oh, okay, they're going to. And then you never hear from the person and you're just sitting there, well, what's going on? I feel like there's got to be a better way to find an agency.
Once you're with somebody, you don't always know, even after you sign, you don't always know what you signed on for, you know, really that who that person is as a person until some time goes by. And maybe you've had some, you know, trials by fire and then, you know, people's real colors come out and sometimes you're just gladder than anything that you're with them. And other times you're like, okay, time to shop around again.
Right. Well, you know, but what I don't think is really clear is yeah, should I go? Should I leave? I mean, what if I can't find somebody else, you know? And I think that's the scary part of even being in the industry, you know, is making the move.
It is really scary. I mean, because it can be so difficult to get your first agent and manager once you've got them, even if you're not necessarily really happy with them, the idea of moving is also, you know, it's scary because, you know, it's not guaranteed necessarily unless you're doing incredibly well, in which case you probably have people lining up to talk to you. But if you're not yet, you know, and you're still really definitely making the push to get out there, you don't know. I mean, I think that's why it's so darn hard to get that first one. Like how do you even take a meeting? Like, did you do workshops? Did you do showcases? Did you actually get a referral?
How did you find showcase? Yeah, we did do a showcase, and I didn't mention that. I couldn't remember the name of it, but we did go do a showcase. Yeah, I'm originally from, like I said, I'm originally from Dallas, still have family there. And so we did, and Rockport is like a tiny village, fishing village, and it's 7 hours north of Dallas, or south of Dallas. And so we went to a showcase there, and then from that showcase, you know, there was agencies there and said, oh, come out, come for a visit on your summer vacation, you know. I'm like, summer vacation, you know, I don't just go to LA for a summer vacation. But that is how we ended up, our first agency. And we went out and visited a couple and decided to go with one. And they were never really the right fit, then got with another one, and they weren't the right fit either. And then finally ended up somewhere we, you know, was really working as a team. And I think it was definitely a learning experience for us.
Well, I'm glad that you're talking about this because, honestly, I think this is a very normal, common part of the business for people, especially at the beginning. It's honestly, you know, everybody's always talking about how hard it is to get that first, you know, get signed. But you know what? Just because you got signed doesn't mean you got signed with the right person for you. They might even be a great, you know, agent or manager in the business, like very successful, but maybe the personal dynamic's not right. There's a lot of complexity to those relationships, and they end up feeling very personal. And that's part of why it's so hard to jump from one to the next, too, is there's like, oh, it's so personal. But, you know, the truth is it's pretty normal for people to change sometimes. You know, just because you got one doesn't mean that's the one you're going to have for life. And I think it's important for people to maybe just expect that.
Right. You know? I think so, too. I think I wish I would have thought of it that way. And just, you know, there is another actor in the town of Rockport. I mean, I'm sure there's many, but that are actually in the industry. But, you know, you just like come from one place and get thrown into, I felt like I was thrown into the realms of it. And it was like, wow, what am I doing?
Yeah. The learning curve is really steep. So I'm guessing that Victoria's had some kind of training. What kind of background does she have in terms of training?
Well, you know, I mean, she really, here, you know, when she was in Texas at home, it was mainly dancing. And I feel like that was a really good discipline and expression for her. And she was intrigued with school theater, which I felt like really led her into her acting. And then when she left Texas and we arrived in L.A., you know, she continued to dance because it was a passion. When you're in a small town and there's not a whole lot of anything, you get, okay, well, I'm going to be on the dance team or I'm going to do this. And she did all genres of dance. But after she got to L.A., we just tried to find an acting class that she could really connect to. And so she really found, you know, she tried several, but she really felt like Dennis Lavelle made a mark on her acting and really taught her some important things. And then later on, Zach Barnett. And so those were two teachers that she really felt really led her into a better place in their acting. She's still, whenever she can, she'll take class at Zach. That's really it. She has done some coaching. And she's, you know, she does do some coaching with Kaylee Hummel, and really owes some of her credit to helping her, you know, get certain things out that you don't just think of and try yourself.
Yeah, I'm a big believer. And yet my kid hasn't done very much in that direction. She's a kind of a learn by doing kid. So, I mean, my philosophy really is there's every way to do it. And I'm always curious about, you know, what everybody else has done. How did you guys manage the school question? Because I'm doing the math right now. Victoria's 19. If you've been out here since 2009, she was clearly in school when you came out here and you were, I'm guessing probably she was going out for a lot of auditions and stuff. That's hard to pull off with a standard school situation. What did you guys do? How did you handle that?
Well, she did online schooling, online public schooling. And then she pretty much did that the whole time and then changed to, in the high school part, she was still in middle school. Just at the end of middle school or at the middle of middle school, should I say. She did Opportunities for Learning and got her Chesapeake. So, which is a California High School Proficiency Exam. Certificate.
It's a mouthful, which is the equivalent of a high school diploma.
Right. That allowed her to, I was working from home and I was able to help her some, but it did allow her to go into a classroom, have a teacher, do testing at a computer, and get help if she needed. And then, you know, if she needed even more help, she'd do tutoring or something, but I mean, it was good. I mean, it was a pretty good setup. And she, at a young age, was always a responsible person. I feel she's like an old soul almost. You know, she just really got with it. So schooling was never a problem. Like, I'm not going to do it or I don't want to do it. Just like she always wanted to do her schoolwork. So that was good.
That's so great. Yeah, we tried all kinds of different things around the school thing, and we did not do well with the online school. I think you have to be very motivated to pull that off. And the motorcycle kids love it, and it wasn't the right fit for us. So, again, always curious because there's so many ways to do this. Did you guys have any, like, major surprises along this journey? Like what was something that just, like, surprised you when you encountered it?
Well, I mean, like you said earlier, it is a huge learning curve. I think one of the most surprising things about LA, and I should have known this anyway. I did know this, but just going out there and living in it was the cost of living and what it takes to actually be in that area and be there all the time and get used to the change. You know, the ups and downs, you know, and going back to her schooling, I really felt like the online thing was, you know, I mean, it was something that I wanted her to do too, so that if we did need to come back to Texas, we could go back to Texas and she'd still be doing her school online and it would kind of work both ways. But, yeah, I mean, surprises, I would just think, parking ticket. We never had that in Rockport, you know? I mean, there's no parking tickets in Rockport. Oh, man.
There's parking tickets every day in L.A. Oh, man. Yeah, right. I think I talk about that in my book. I'm like, read the signs. The signs are ridiculous. It's so confusing.
Right. Read it again and again and again.
Yeah, no, I'll just stand there, like, staring, and there'll be, like, six different signs all stacked up on a single pole, and they all say slightly different things, and you, like, read them all three times to go, okay, am I okay here or not? I can't tell.
Yeah.
Was there ever a point in your journey, because you guys have been out here for a while now, where you said something to the effect of, like, okay, if no real traction has happened by X time, period of some point, we're going to just go on to plan B because we can't do this forever.
No. And I heard that so many times from, you know, because I did kind of try to network some. And but it was hard to do because I was working and then I had Victoria and you know, and everything else. And so networking was kind of hard to do at that point. But every time I would get together with people, they were like, oh, well, we're going to, you know, I'm only giving them this long, you know, or something like that. And I don't know. I was just never that type of, I'm not that type of person, but even that type of parent. I mean, I really believed in her and I was always 100% behind her. And I knew that was her passion and her dream. And yeah, maybe the thought ran through my mind a couple of times when it just didn't seem like nothing was happening. Well, But you know, I never did it, put a time limit or a plan B in place. It just never happened.
Well, it obviously paid off. The girl is shooting two different series right now at the same time.
Yeah, I know. And we're talking, she's juggling, you know, and it's you're like, okay, all right. We'll check that schedule. Let's check this schedule, make sure that's okay. So, yeah, no, it's good.
That's so cool. What is something that you really wish you'd known before you started this whole adventure? I mean, at this point, it's been a successful adventure, but, you know, it took a while to make sure that that was really going to be the case. And what was something that you just wish you'd known at the outset?
No, I don't really know, Bonnie. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily change anything about our journey because it has been a huge, huge learning experience. And, I mean, we can now go back and laugh about it. And we have memories about it. Some are good, some are bad, but you know, I can't really say what would be one thing that would really make a difference. I mean, obviously, if I would have known about a good book like your Hollywood Parents Guide, I mean, that would have been helpful. I mean, it's like, oh no, I just go to this showcase in Dallas, and I'm like, oh no, I'm geared up. My daughter wants to do this. Let's go, you know? And, you know, I really should have researched more.
I think we all have our version of that. I asked myself this question, you know, and I was asking myself this question vividly as I was writing the book, you know, and there's a lot of stuff that I wish I'd known before we started this. But in fact, like you said, I don't know that any of it would have made a really significant difference. It's like I wouldn't have changed my choices, probably. I still would have done it. You know, and I think it helps a lot to shorten the learning curve. Like if there's stuff that you can know that can save you pain and can save you time and can save you money, you should get on top of that stuff. And there's a lot of stuff like
right.
that, which is, you know, part of what I'm up to, but still, you know, I think this is worth going for. You just, you know, you want to arm yourself with as much as you can. But you're
right.
And
you're right. I mean, if you could do it again, yeah, I would have liked to save some pain, definitely time. Money would have been really, really nice to save and done it a little bit differently. But I mean, now it's a wash because it's done. So you've got to, I have to think of it positively now. So I don't try to, you know, go back to that place.
Well, and here you guys are. I mean, Victoria is only 19. She's a young adult, and she's a genuinely successful young actor. You know, you did it. So I know that there's a bunch of us, because our kids are all about the same age, and we're in this interesting transition place right now where, you know, we've been so deeply involved in helping our kids get to exactly where they are now. But now they're young adults, and it's time to start disengaging, and they're able to do stuff on their own. My goodness, they're finally driving. A lot of them sort of drive later than usual because of their circumstances. How has that changed your involvement as a parent with Victoria?
Now that you're
on set every minute of the day, right?
Right. I mean, I feel like I get to take on a different role in watching her grow as an actor, and it's so... I feel so honored and proud to go watch her act and walk on set, not be on set already, and just come there and see her, or not, you have to go. And just watch her grow and learning how to handle her schedule and be responsible for doing her everyday work as far as script reading or being on time. I do know with the double schedule that she's been pulling off with Teen Wolf and Liv and Maddie, on some days she's had to be on both sets on the same day.
That's crazy.
Yeah, she has. It's happened several times lately, and I have called and said, "Are you up, sweetie? You know, make sure you get up, you know." I'm proud to say that feel like she's really taken the responsibility to see how much I put into helping her get to where she's at and just running with it and taking on the responsibility. It's been really great. So
it's so cool. Well, she's a remarkable young woman, and it does take, it's a lot for any adult to, you know, run the kind of schedule that these kids are having to run. And they're doing it with a lot of grace at, you know, 19 and 20. And I agree with you. It just feels really good. You know,
yeah.
To do that.
Yeah, we can feel really, really good about it.
Well, seriously though, and you know, I was sitting on set with Pat Fisher, Jordan's mom, the other day, or we ran into each other somewhere, we weren't on set. And she says, "You're going to be on set this next week because both of the kids were going to be on Liv and Maddie." And I said, "Oh, yeah, I wouldn't miss it." I said, "What about you?" She goes, "Oh, are you kidding? You know, you put in all the hard part. You know, you do all the hard work. You want to be there for the fun stuff." And it's true. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, to get your kids to this amazing place where they're really, no kidding, independent and doing what they love for a living is so beautiful. And you've worked so hard to help them get there. It's a serious pleasure to get to show up and watch them work when you can.
Yeah.
So, finally, any pointers for parents on how they can remain sane through, you know, this crazy journey that we all go on. Any hot tips? Like, what have you done to help yourself? To,
well, you know, I take very long walks and just let my mind go, you know, and, you know, but I always and try, we're very family oriented. We're a very close knit family. And I always tried to include family time, even though no matter what we were doing with her schedule, or she had to get ready for this audition, or she had that callback, or she had that producer session. Maybe things didn't go exactly the way they needed to, or maybe they did, but then get away from that and make sure you have that family meal together or do something together, you know, go see a movie, go, you know, something, or even get back home or visit your aunt, something family oriented. I always felt like that always helped Victoria and I. And, you know, just really be thankful for the opportunities. I do think networking with other parents sometimes can help, but I don't know, it could bring some more sanity. It just really depends on the parents.
It totally does.
I think you know what I mean, too. It just really depends who you're talking to. And they really, you got to really keep a level head. And look at it, you know, there's in audition wise, you know, there's hundreds of no's sometimes for your kid or the next kid before there's a yes. And everybody's got their own opinion of what they're looking for. So just remember that, you know, I feel like we got to remember that.
I like that. That's good. Anything else that you'd like to say to parents who are out there somewhere, probably not in LA, or maybe they aren't in LA, but they're considering helping their kids become professional actors? Anything else you'd want to share with them?
Well, I really think that it's got to be the child or the kid or the teen or the young adult. If you're trying to help them, it's got to really be their dream. And you got to make sure that they're willing to know that it's a serious thing. Yeah, they need to be happy with their journey, but it is a serious thing. These are jobs. They're not going out there to play. Yes, they want to have fun with their craft and when they're working, but they're going out there to get paid for a job, and it is considered a job, and you have to work hard to get to the point you need to be at. And I think that they have to know it's a journey for the parent and the child, and there's lots of ups and downs, and just be ready for it and take it as it comes. And another note I'd like to add is that don't let them talk you into buying a lot of headshots. When you go in to get your headshots made, make sure you get the least amount that you can, because your child will change. And then you may walk away from that photo session and say, why do I need 200 headshots? You know, I mean, you know, it's, what am I going to use these for? I mean, oh my God, 1 year, she looks totally different or whatever, you know. And kids change fast, and you don't need that many. You can always print more. I mean, get them as you need them, not come home with them.
You just saved families hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
They will realize that when they get out there, and if you're already out there, the next time you order 50 or order 25, I don't know, but...
Yeah.
Do not over-order, because it will happen, and it'll change. And don't go with the most expensive headshot guy just because they say, oh, you got to have this person, you know. Go for the medium one, or try to get it pro bono. I don't know. I mean, just figure it out, because it's not, I mean, those headshots get looked at. If your kid's right for it, they're going to be right for it. And I know they say they're worth a lot, but I really feel like they can be a waste of money if you're not careful.
I'm so happy you brought that up. My own personal rule of thumb when we were printing headshots, you know, over here was never, ever, ever more than 50. You know, and frankly, right. I don't think I ever went through. I mean, even with Doug, who frankly did a lot of auditioning before she kind of landed on these gigs where she's not doing a lot of auditioning right now because she's not available. I don't think I ever blew through the 50, ever. And I mean, after that, it's like you're just recycling them. It's crazy making because they're expensive. And the kids, even when they're teenagers, their faces change.
Yeah.
You know, their faces change year to year. And then if you maybe, you know, change your management in some way, they want you to go out and get new ones anyway.
Right.
That's, thank you. Thank you for bringing that up.
You're
words
welcome.
Of wisdom. Well, look for Victoria this season on both Teen Wolf and Liv and Maddie. The girl is very busy doing a lot of work, and she's got a new movie coming out, an upcoming comedy called Is That a Gun in Your Pocket, and it looks really fun. I'm looking forward to seeing that. Susanna, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for listening to Hometown to Hollywood. If you like what you heard here, please subscribe. It's free. Go to my website, hollywoodparentsguide.com, and click on the subscribe button. You'll get weekly podcasts and blog posts delivered right to your inbox that will educate and inspire you. And if you need help figuring out just how to navigate the career of a young actor, buy my book, The Hollywood Parents Guide, on Amazon. Or for one-on-one coaching that can save you literally thousands of dollars and months and years of wasted time, book an hour consultation with me over Skype or in LA. Just go to hollywoodparentsguide.com and click on the consultation page. For the same price of an hour with an acting coach, you can get peace of mind and a detailed action plan. Thanks. Remember, the future belongs to those who believe in their dreams.